November meeting of the County Cary Beach Planning and Zoning Commission. First item on the agenda is approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Second item is approval of the minutes from October 1st, 2014. Why don't we just take a minute or two to look at the minutes, and if anybody has any changes to recommend, go ahead and shout them out. The only thing I would say is on number three right there, where you have me noting the concern about the look of the units, my concern had to do with the back of the units fronting Fort Fisher. You know, I didn't have any problem with anything else, but...
And what page is that?
On page three.
Okay.
Says that I noted a concern about the look of the units. I noted a concern about the look of the units on the backside of the units fronting Fort Fisher Boulevard. That was my major concern. Is there a motion to approve the minutes with that minor modification?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, next item is public comments. Anybody want to do a public comment? Anybody want to do a comment that's not public?
Afterwards.
All right. Hearing none, we get to old business, item number five. First item on their five is parking on 421, discussion with SLAP. And this is something that was scheduled actually for last, but Tony was not available last time, so put it off.
Sick.
That's right. So, anyway, Tony, you want to, I think you had some things that you want to talk about.
Well, nothing is settled with parking per se in the town of Cary Beach because council didn't give their blessings. And this is only to propose that the board parking on the grass. Well, according to a lot of the state regulations and stuff, you basically cannot put a no parking sign at a public access to stop people from using the public access. Unfortunately, it's on grass and it is DOT property. That's the dilemma that we have. But if you put up a sign where it says no parking, that means people to use, there's only like three of those entrances, they cannot park there and then go into a public access. I mean, the residents across the street could do that, but there's so many more people that go down there and use the public access. So that's the problem that we have there.
One of the issues that came up, and I think why this is on there, is that somewhere along the line we were told that you can't enforce really any parking on parking on 421 because it's
county.
Because it's county/state or something like that. So there's nothing we can do. Is that because this is in the context of people in these vacation homes. Not just public access people, but people at vacation homes who then line the street 4421 there, and that there's nothing that we can do is what we were told on that.
May I address that?
Sure.
My name's Al Woodall, and I originally brought this to, I guess, the town council. That's not what the DOT told me. DOT told me that they could enforce and put up signs, which they would do, but they did not want to do that unless the town agreed. But it wasn't the way they explained it to me. It wasn't a matter of regulation. It was simply a matter of communication and agreement amongst the parties. What we had attempted, or what we were in the process of doing, was meeting with the chief and getting everybody together at a meeting. But when the chief thought that was a bad idea, we ought to come in front of you guys first.
Okay, Tony, you know, I mean, can you kind of clarify this whole parking issue? Because it sounds to me like what you heard is that if the town council would identify where perhaps they would want to have restrictions and maybe make a recommendation that no parking signs could be put up there. Now, what you heard from the DOT is that they would go ahead and put those no parking signs up there, and then it would be up to the town then to... I guess that's the other question, is who then would enforce it.
And that would be their question as well.
Yeah, right.
Al, do you know you talked at the DOT?
I do, but I didn't bring my computer with me, unfortunately.
Could you send me a note on who you spoke
sure.
at the DOT?
Sure, absolutely.
And then, I don't know, I was in privy to this conversation with Al and the other gentleman from DOT, so I don't know if he realized that there was public access there. Maybe he missed it. I'm not 100% sure.
No. I don't mean to contradict you.
No,
He came out. I met with two different people standing on the property explaining to them what our problem was. The first guy said, not my job, basically, but I'll tell you who you should talk to. And the second guy came out, and he fully understands the access to the beach and all that. It was a matter of, will the town agree to let us put these signs up, and will the town enforce it?
Well, how's that work? I know Canada has regulations on public access areas, so...
Yeah,
I mean, before you took the steps on...
Yeah, you cannot stop the public from using. So if that's okay with DOT says, then it has to go to the next level with CAMA and DOT and let them find it out. Me as an individual, even with SLAP, I can't give you authorization. Only what I read in these books where you cannot stop the public from using a public access. In reality, when you put up a no parking sign, you're stopping people from using the entrance.
But that's subject to interpretation, is it not?
Is that parking or foot traffic?
No. Most people that go down there, sir, is they park on a grass,
yeah,
and they go into the beach access.
But does CAMA dictate whether it's foot access or vehicular?
For access, the definition of access.
And we're not suggesting we want to prevent yeah. access, we're just talking about parking. To me, they're two different things.
Well, I guess it could be both. I mean, when they use our J through E, they park in our parking lot, and then they, you know, they go into the... Now, people that live on all those side streets, they go to the beach by foot.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things, and it's actually an important issue, I believe, and then there's two issues, and one is called the access. And I'm quite familiar, for example, with California, because there's a real problem with California, where there's a lot of, again, the beaches are public, they have to be accessed, and things like that. But that doesn't give the right for people to park in front of people's houses, and that sort of thing. There has to be an access where people have to be able to access the beach. So one is the access. And then the other issue, I think, which is real important, is that this came about not simply because of a beach access issue, but because of there's the rental properties there on 421, and that people were doing kind of excessive parking and parking out there on 421. So it's not just a beach access issue, it's also something that's up and down 421 related to people parking on 421 and interfering with people.
Living on that, down at that side, most people come, park on the grass, they're tourists, they park on the grass, and they use the beach access. Very seldom do the residents park there per se. It's usually tourists that come in when everything is all overflowed, and it'll go from one side all the way up. You know, they park on the grass and then they go to the beach access.
Tony, I can't speak for the entire 421, but the area that I'm talking about is Ocean Dunes, you know, the...
Yes.
And I would disagree with what you're saying there, is that, number one, no owners park there. We have plenty of parking spaces inside.
I didn't say owners.
Okay.
I said tourists.
But there are no...
Tourists park there. Craig, if I could... Just a suggestion. We've had the attorney explain to us that there's nothing that he's found from a statute perspective that gets involved in this type of activity. So I think we have a few things to do. I think we need to speak with CAMA, see what their problem would be if we restrict parking. We need to talk to PennDOT to see if PennDOT, North Carolina Department of Transportation would allow signs, if they allow signs, and we meet whatever CAMA's problems are, then we just have to see if the police chief and the counselor are willing to enforce people parking there with signs. I think we might be trying to solve too many things.
May I make a comment?
Sure.
It's actually quite simple. You can regulate parking. I think that there are town spaces on 421 to begin with, at least in this area. But it's just really a question of if this is your project, if the council's given you this project, it's just a question of having somebody check with DOT to see what the bottom line is. And I bet you it's a encroachment agreement scenario. Which would allow you to put the parking spaces and maybe the signage and the regulation, but there's got to be a way to do it. It's got to be simple. There's a statute that covers a lot of this stuff, and it's just a question of getting with DOT and asking them, what do we need to do?
This was kind of given to us. This isn't something that came from us, and it's not really a zoning issue. It's more of a parking issue, but it was passed on to us. And so we're kind of struggling with what we want to do. And I actually agree with the attorney. I don't know, since it was kind of thrown in our lap, I guess we have to take it and run with it. Is there anybody that would like to maybe get together with Tony or anybody to find out what the actual real situation is on this whole thing? In the parking up and down 421 or John?
Are we talking about all of 421 or only the area by Ocean Dunes?
Well, that's going to be the problem.
That is the problem. The only place that you have parking on 421 is off the road on that grass section of all by Ocean Dunes. The other areas are all people's front lawns, even though that the right-of-way belongs to the town. Most people do not park on their front lawns. And there's another one down by 1004. There's a little dirt space that people park there, and they walk into that exit. But other than that, that was a can of worms that is going to open up about people parking on 421. Just like, say, Craig's house. It's a very touchy situation there. But as far as I know, we were only talking about Ocean Dunes parking on the grass.
My understanding is that we were trying to, we may not come up with a recommendation for all 421, but my understanding is we were asked to look at the whole 421 situation. Okay, because this also came out not only of that particular area, but also the discussion that came out of vacation houses, that there were some vacation houses where they pack 20 people in it, they can't all get up the driveway, and they do park out there. I mean, I occasionally say, certainly not everybody does.
They park on the front lawns of the
house. They park on the front lawns. And,
or empty lots. Or empty lots.
Or on the empty lots, right. So the issue there is, which is how it came up, well, is that on private property, but it's also on right-of-way, and to what extent, can the town enforce that? So I think there's several different issues.
That's correct.
In terms of the right-of-way issue, the general 421 stretch, and right-of-way issues and things like that.
Because there's nothing with Curie Beach, any kind of ordinance about parking, off of 421, any kind of regs about any of that.
Right.
There's nothing on the books.
No, we need to determine what we are allowed to do.
Right, exactly.
On any part of 421. If you can put a no parking sign down there, I could probably put one in front of my house, right? So all we have to do is find out what we can do.
And the mechanism to do it.
The Department of Transportation. And then you guys can look at how that impacts private property parking, which is your purview. And maybe Tony then can have a thought about what the recommendation of council on public parking.
Because if council goes paid parking, that is going to be abused, parking on 421, because if they'll park anywhere, then they can find a spot.
So we don't have this conversation again, start motors. Hypothetically, let's say that DOT says we have free reign. Mm-hmm. What is our end game? What are we trying to accomplish?
Well, I,
I would say one specific area, are we going to do the whole thing?
I would say if, once we find out what our authority is, then we should have a discussion as to where might we want to regulate, you know, the parking. But, you know, we don't want to talk about that really, whether it's all 421 or just certain areas, before we find out even if we have the authority to do it. So I would agree with Craig that, you know, we need to find what the authority is and then have a discussion as to where, if any, we might want to regulate this thing. But I mean, we can't do anything until we find out what the exact authority is and how inclined the DOT or other government agencies might be willing to give us that authority.
I'll take it.
All right, good. I figured we'd talk, and somebody would raise their hand.
Okay. Oh, we were supposed to raise our hand.
Yeah. All right, so we do have a volunteer.
Joe said he.
I'll do it.
He's got a free to DOT.
Okay, all right. So, is there a motion to, I guess, postpone the discussion on parking on 421 until next month, at which time Joe will come back and report?
Well, tell me specifically what you want to know.
Find out what our
authority is, right?
Okay. And basically find out what the authority we would have to regulate parking all up and down 421. You know, there might be different elements in different areas. Related to beach access, not beach access.
There's also a way that we can affect the natural spaces.
That's true. Yeah. So it's not only regulated, but also maybe allow parking.
Also allow parking.
Yeah.
Good point.
Maybe you can park up to the side. I have those signs. One on each side.
Okay, so there's a motion to table the discussion of this until our December meeting. Okay. Second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
So next item.
Joe's going to meet with who? So we get that right. You're going to try to meet with CAMA and DOT? Or?
Yes, I'll call DOT. I'll start with him.
Okay.
Go from there.
All right, second item is a rental certificate. This is where I volunteered last time to put together a straw man, possible ordinance, preliminary ordinance. I sent this around, but it looks like it was printed off for everybody too, so you should have this. Just very quickly, I put this together based upon, again, cutting and pasting from a number of other beach communities that do have these. It's a fairly common sort of thing. What I did in terms of the cutting and pasting is cut and paste and maybe did some minor rewording to the issues that were appropriate to Curie Beach here that the town suggested are things that they may want to see, the council suggested that they may want to see in such an ordinance. So again, the idea is just to pass this out tonight, let people read it, think about it, and maybe continue our discussion next month on this. And so the attorney can also look at it and see what sort of thing. But this is fairly common. This, as it's written right now, is a fairly lax rental certificate requirement. There are some towns that have very strict and a lot of requirements and regulations and fees associated with it and so forth. But again, that's not what I think we heard from council. They really want to be kind of a self-regulating process and not onerous, but deal with some of the issues, such as noise and trash and, you know, maybe parking and some of those issues.
If I could just make one comment. As I looked through it, I thought you did a, you know, there's some really interesting things in this thing. One thing that I was curious about, though, there wasn't anything that addressed what do you do with people who do not get in this process and rent.
Well, that would be a violation.
Yeah, there is a violation component here.
There's a violations list if you don't comply. Well, I guess that
would be you get a warning notice first, and then there's fines.
Yeah. Okay. So it's like that would be considered one of a violation, and that's why.
Yeah, and again, one of the other issues too is to make sure that they do pay their room taxes, their occupancy tax.
Yes.
And that's, you'll see that that is part of this position. All right, is there a motion to table the discussion of the temporary rental house permit ordinance until our December meeting? there a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Seaview subdivision, follow-up from council. I'll go ahead and say that. Again, this is it was an administrative type of process. I presented it to council. There was a very short discussion. Again, I expressed a bit of a concern about some maybe architectural components, and how close it would be to Fort Fisher, 421 there. But other than that, it's an administrative sort of thing, and it was approved by the council, and, after a short presentation, and as far as I know, it continues on. I don't know, John, they have about 45 days to...
We have to resubmit.
Yeah, right. But they have 45 days to do it, don't they?
No, they have longer than that. I don't know that there is a timeline on that part.
I thought there was something that was... I mean, it probably doesn't matter at all, but I
believe that there's... They'll be here shortly. They're working on it right now, so yeah. It's going to be coming back.
Okay.
Can I just make a point? Are they putting a fence by the retention pond on that side of the property?
I think they were, because
that is a very dangerous spot. If the development doesn't happen, it's all the shrubs, all trees, right? I was just curious. I drove past it yesterday, and I said, maybe they don't have the fence by that retention pond, which could be.
I don't see one on here right now.
It's just a point to bring up if you so desire.
Is your retention pond indicated there?
No, on their property, yeah.
No, that's what I thought. I didn't think there was one on their property.
I don't think we have a retention pond.
I don't think so.
Chinese referencing the retention pond service to Sea Watch.
Alright, just one other real quick thing on this, and it's not probably something we can't do, but when last month when we were talking about this, and it was pointed out that this is simply an administrative process, I think this is an example of a zoning and planning process that was set up in kind of the archaic times of a town a long time ago, where in fact this sort of thing should be more of a discretionary, where we could actually look at it, we could make recommendations, and as long as there are certain type of recommendations, they would have to follow those recommendations. Certainly that's how most subdivision approval processes take place in planning and zoning that I've seen. But this kind of is an administrative process. As long as they punch the thing, we have this kind of approval without any sort of discretion. I think that's unfortunate. While we don't have a lot of other subdivisions going to take place here in town because we're pretty well built out, but it would have been nice to have a little more discretion on this one, I think, in terms of managing some of those setback issues.
If you have recommendations that should come to the council after you review this stuff, feel free to bring up.
Okay. About maybe making things more discretionary on this?
Because you heard there were a lot of questions. Is there fencing towards the street? What do you
think? And there's nothing we can do. I mean,
close to the street, right?
Yeah, there's nothing we can do about it as an administrative process. Yes.
Just keep in mind that you would be changing the whole process from a review and approval to a quasi-judicial hearing.
Right, exactly. I mean, this is every other planning commission I've been on is, in fact, that. The developers come, they do a presentation, we look at it, we come up with recommendations, we can make it approval subject to changes on those presentations, but it is really a judicial type of process, but it's an administrative process the way we have it set up here at Curie Beach.
And of course, the judicial process, well, either one can end up in court either way,
right.
So I can strike that.
All right. Any new business? Member items? Any member items? The only one that I wanted to bring up is something that actually I saw in the paper. I'll go ahead and call my friends over at the P&Z Commission over at Wrightsville Beach, but they're starting to have some problems with graffiti in Wrightsville Beach, and I noticed that they are planning on writing what could be described as a graffiti ordinance. Again, I've been involved with graffiti ordinances extensively. In fact, I ended up writing the model ordinance for Orange County, California on graffiti because, again, it's a big problem. I can't tell you what the problem is. And graffiti has a devastating effect on property values and tourism and everything like that. That's what our research shows. So we don't have a problem here, but Wrightsville Beach is starting to get a problem. It's actually in the paper to talk about, and they will be in the process of writing a graffiti ordinance that would identify penalties associated with, you know, people doing graffiti, a requirement that if graffiti is on private property, they have to clean it up after, you know, before a certain amount of time, you know, and just those sort of things. So just want to kind of give a heads up as to maybe when we finish some of the other stuff we're looking at, we may want to think ahead and maybe think about what Wrightsville Beach is doing and put something together for the council here just in case we end up with problems. Any other member items? John, is it okay if we stop now?
Sure is.
Okay. Just check it. I mean, you're our timer or something. All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I see.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay.